Hi, this is Mary H.K. Choi, and you're listening to Hey Cool Life, a micropod about mental health and creativity. This is November 12th, and this is episode 163. I am in Japan still. It is my second to last day, and I'm feeling so complicated. I have never been less ready to leave a place. To recap, I've been here for a month with my partner who was here on residency. And we booked it during the writer's strike. And it was one of those moments of like, who knows, more will be revealed. And so I've been working here. And it's been wonderful. It's also just been really strange. I've been sharing a lot about this in previous installments around how much my body and brain likes it here in Japan. Like, I was scared to come out here. And there has been like moments of adjustment insofar as how hard jet lag is and how like weirdly brain frying it is to be in the future, to be like 13 hours in the future from New York and then even further separated from people and colleagues in LA, and feeling a lot of vigilance around my time blindness as it relates to ADHD and autism, and being like, oh God, and like really not understanding how days work. But it's been really okay. It's also been really wonderful to not know where I'm going all the time, because I never know where I'm going, but at least here there is no expectation for me to know. And that's been really kind of a gift as well, like just another layer of ambient wrongness being sort of pulled back and allowing myself to get used to just the way I think, you know, and the way I process information. There is such a like a morality thing happening when I'm at home, because I should know where I'm going. I should know directions. I should know time. I should know how long it takes me to get somewhere, or how long it takes me to get ready in my own home, and all of these things. And it's been really, really just a bomb, and like so like nourishing and healing to just be in acceptance that I'm gonna do things weird in a place. And so I think that there's been something really informative, I think, about like traveling to somewhere I've never been before for so long, to like create rhythms and new routines and see how much more kindness I can give myself in a new place versus in my home, and really trying to maybe apply some of that to, you know, when I get home, and also accepting that I probably will for a little bit and then it'll go away, and that is fine, because the human capacity for adjustment is some ways like completely deleterious and toxic, and in other ways so self-protective and a miracle. You know, it's been really interesting to be on social media more, partly because I'm traveling and, you know, probably not even just probably, like definitely doing a lot of like the like today's office somewhere amazing. But usually for me, it's just like food, because the food here has been completely just mind blowing. And yeah, I'll circle back to that. But like, you know, I've been on social media a lot, also because of the news and because of genocide and because, you know, like all of the horror that's been going on in Palestine and in Gaza. And it's been really interesting to see how that feels from afar. Like I'm very, very in tune to the privilege of the time difference, only insofar as that my regular news sources are disjointed from my like waking hours. But of course, all that means is that like I'm on the news first thing in the morning until really, really late at night. Because during the day, most of the people that I interact with are asleep. And I've likened it to the sort of like strange remove of like, you know, Dr. Manhattan looking at the planet or something like that, which also just adds to this paranoia that I have about autism, which is that I already really struggle to know my own feelings or know the feelings of others and experience empathy. So like I'm always really scared that I'm not like empathizing enough and like fearful that I'm either like an alien or a robot or like a robot alien. And you know, it's there. Like I feel the feeling of just such tremendous grief and despair and just like horror. And I'm like forcing myself to watch a lot of videos to the end and things like that. And it's just really interesting to observe how much I use social media as a mirror to sort of like see how other people feel. And so like, yeah, it's been interesting to observe how I'm like self-harming on my phone late at night in order to make sure that I feel the correct feelings, and then otherwise being in so much like guilt and shame. And I say this not to say anything other than, you know, I'm not even doing that thing of like, it's okay to give yourself a break and like all this stuff. Like that isn't actually my point. My point is like, I'm noticing how much I'm using social media almost to mask. You know, I'm like, I'm basically like, you know, like doing that thing of like pushing a puppy's nose into like, you know, that its mess and being like, look, like this, you can't do this, or something, where I'm just like, you will feel normally about a horrible thing. You will feel as deeply as like holistic or like non-neurodivergent, like neurotypical people feel. Like it is neurotypical if you consume this until you feel really, really wretched. Almost as if I don't feel wretched enough, or there's like an appropriate level of wretchedity to feel, as if that will like somehow unlock my capacity for like normalcy or something. And I say this again not to say that anything's moral, but just that I'm observing myself do it, and it's interesting to see how like the ways that I use other people in order to make sure that I'm doing it right, to like make sure that I'm like humaning correctly. And the other part of that is that a friend of mine just reached out on Instagram and she was like, you know, it's been really nice to see how happy you are. And like, I have been really happy. Like I've been so happy in this month, and it's been so long since I've been happy. And you know, it's not just loss and things like that and uncertainty, and it's just that like in so many ways, like, you know, I've shared the story that when my dad got sick with ALS and there was all of this like medical work to be done and all of these appointments to be made and all this insurance stuff, and just having that added piece of like medical advocacy and communication just completely waylaid my creative process, my ability to like make work and like write anything. And how I found that was so strange. And then that actually eventually led me to seeking out an ADHD assessment. It led me to getting medicated. It led me to all of these other things. And then his death and the feelings that came out of that despite how much therapy I'd been in and despite how much I'd done in terms of like getting help for my eating disorder and getting help for like childhood trauma and neglect and getting help for various addictions, that I was still like, hey, like this is so weird. The feeling, like the depth of feeling I'm feeling is just so strange. And that led me to going on a psilocybin journey, which really, like, I came out of a mushroom journey. I was just like, I need to be assessed for autism. And I was. And I say this to say that it's been such a beautiful, like, truly, it's been a beautiful few years of like figuring things out and seeking answers and then being blessed with answers that feel so true and so definitive and so securing and reassuring, of being like, oh, these paint a picture, and this is why I feel the things I feel and to the level that I feel them, and this is why I don't feel other things. And it's been really hard. It's been really hard. And I think that this trip in a lot of ways is like a culmination of so many things. Like, I'm eating food so freely and with such love and like such pleasure and joy and playfulness. And even if I get something wrong, or like I have a meal that I don't like, or I buy a snack and it's not the thing I thought it was, like, I'm able to like not finish it, or like have to do it over, or like do a right meal, or like work off every single calorie I've eaten in this wrong meal to erase it. And, or I can throw something out. Like, if I buy a snack and it was a mistake, I can throw it out without it being like just so punitive or ruminative. And like, I've been like not working. Like, I turned in my book and I turned in a script, and other than those, it's, and an essay actually, and it's so funny because this really is making me sound like a workaholic, but like, once I did those things, like, I could rest and I could play and I could be a tourist and I could see things and I could travel and I can have whole days where all I do is plan what I'm going to eat and like where I'm going to walk around and like what new neighborhood I'm going to see and like what I'm going to take pictures of and what I'm going to completely just revel in. Like, I love the way this country works, and I love being able to see it because I'm like in my surroundings and I'm in my body and I'm like in my brain and I'm in behind my eyes, and I'm not just like populating another world of fiction. I'm not working on the next book. And it feels on one hand like wretched to be happy in this time, but it also just feels so pure. Like I worked hard. I worked really hard and I searched for a really long time. And I'm like enjoying my days. And actually yesterday was a bad day. Like, I initially set out to record this pod because I never write these in advance, as I'm sure you can tell. But I watched myself have a full-blown meltdown about a suitcase. Like, I needed to buy a suitcase, like a US domestic carry-on size. It's the unit I'm missing at home, and I need to have like a vessel to like take all my shopping in. And so I went to, something's up when I get like really obsessive about going to a place. And so there was a store that Reddit, again, my home when I think my obsessive ruminative thoughts get really loud. I, you know, saw this store, and it was in Ginza, which is very far from where we're staying. It's probably like 40 minutes on the subway, which you know, it's like going to like the upper east or west from like where I live, and it's a schlep, and I was just like so convinced that this place would have it. And of course, it didn't. And of course, like earlier that morning, I had seen this like random suitcase store literally in my neighborhood next to the place I was having lunch. And they were having a sale because it's like Singles Day, or it was yesterday, which is like the anti-Valentine's Day that Japan and parts of Asia and other places, I'm sure, like celebrate. And there was this like crazy luggage sale, and it was just like, here, buy this like whatever luggage for this sale price. And it was right by my house, and I think my brain just completely atomized, where it was just kind of like, you were planning to go to this really far place, but you could solve the puzzle, you could solve this issue now right here. And my brain, which is a fun and exciting place to live, really was just like, no, we got to go to the far place. Like, that's the only logical way. And so we did, and they didn't have it. And so then we went to the close place, and it was like this mad dash back to make sure it was open. And then in the close place, they didn't have what I wanted, and my head just exploded. And what that felt like was I could not decide between these two suitcases, knowing that like neither one was ideal, knowing that it's fine, like it's literally just a suitcase. I had spent one of my last days in Tokyo simply solving this issue. And I was just completely just consumed with dread, self-doubt, self-loathing, and a conviction that I was doing it wrong. And it was just this black, bleak heaviness that came over me. And I was just like, wow, like I like can't do this. And I really just was completely debilitated. And then I sort of thought about what day it was, and I was just like, oh, it's near the 10th, and you know, because of jet lag, it is the 10th, and this is something I've learned, that my PMS, now that I know about ADHD and autism, and now that I know that depression for me is self-loathing and just like just unbelievable conviction that I'm doing something wrong. And I was like, oh, this is your PMS. And the only reason I say this is, you know, I've learned that PMDD is a comorbidity with autism, like in the 92nd percentile or something. And it's just this thing that like, it's like very, 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 very severe PMS. And that's oversimplifying it. And the kaleidoscope and constellation of symptoms for each person are completely different. And for me, I know that it just hijacks my brain and hijacks my nervous system. And it's really, really wonderful to sit here with this complete hodgepodge of acronyms of all these things that define like certain aspects of my character and like all of this stuff. And just know that the solution is always the same. It's like, I have to love myself in this moment. I have to have compassion. Like, this sucks. And like, none of this, you know, not to be like into rah-rah, like aphorism territory, but like none of this defines me, while just giving me a little hint as to where I'm at. And so like, I can just know that like, I'm gonna have to take care of my meals today. Like, I'm gonna have to be really patient. I'm gonna know that it's not gonna feel like I have enough hours of the day. I'm gonna know that I am going to want to like create like search parties for all manner of arbitrary thing that I think will solve my life in this moment. And all of this is based on like whatever is happening with me, like neurochemically, and also probably a lot of grief and sadness and like urgency manufactured and real around like sadness about leaving. And hi, like I don't do great with change. Like I'm sure there's a part of me, you know, I often refer to my brain as a cat in a cat carrier going to the vet, but like not going to the vet, like wherever this cat carrier comes out, like my brain is bugging out. And like, I probably think this is my new home. And I probably, when I get back to my apartment on the Lower East Side and get back to like my life, it's going to be like, wait, what is this? And that's really okay. But the reason why I think I like even set out to record this pod is like, I'm so grateful to be able to look at myself and the situation and be like, hey, like these feelings maybe aren't commensurate with the scale of the situation, aka buying a fucking piece of luggage just to schlep my shit home. And so maybe this isn't like all that's going on. And it sounds sort of like threatening to be like, maybe this isn't real, or maybe what you're feeling isn't like valid, or like let's discount your feelings and all this stuff. And it is a really intuitive fine line because there is no new rule. All I'm saying is in that moment, I can intuitively give myself advice that would be totally wrong in another moment, and that's okay, and that's not inconsistent, and it's not crazy, and it's not neurodivergent. It's just that these things will need to just adjust and accommodate and expand and possibly be contradictory and have that be okay, which is that like, hey, it's just you. It's not you. This is real and it's not real. And you can just make a decision and you can hate yourself and you can forgive yourself and you can love yourself and you can feel sad about it and you can also feel compassionate and it's gonna be okay. And then this moment will end. And like, yeah, it's another day. It's today now. And that was yesterday. And I watched a movie, I watched a movie that was just Ryusuke Hamaguchi's movie, Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy. And it's three shorts within a movie. And each of them are about relationships. And it's unpredictable and it's startling and it's startling in the way that like it makes me so giddy to be alive. Like it's startling in the way that like people offer each other humanity and care in ways that like are so delightful and weird and so like kinky, but also like kinky in that way of like not necessarily erotic, but just like so intimate of like what humans can do for each other. And I don't know, like really, I think this pod is about like being a person. And, you know, I've been thinking about like the way other people tell stories and the way I tell story. And like, I have a lot of self-consciousness because my last book is like really the one where I'm like, oh wow, I'm super autistic about how people relate to each other. And is that okay? Is that safe? Is that normal? Are people not going to get it? Like rah, 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 alien robot, you know? And I've been reading like, you know, other interviews and like listening to other authors talk about how they write about what it looks like to care for someone, to give and receive care, and other writers talking about how they all write from love. And I have a real fear that I don't know how to love, and I have a real fear that like I have infected my characters with that same inability or disability. And I just had this like moment in watching this movie be so like joyously, triumphantly, like much like life, like so unpredictable. And like, I also write from a place of love, and my depiction of love is just as valid, even if it is people being cruel to each other because they're missing something, or they haven't been taught how to love in certain ways. But like, it's the effort, you know, it's that people are always reaching for each other. And so I have a lot of fear in saying like, I also write from love, but like I do, it's, and sometimes it's like the effort, like it's like the trying, and it's not always going to be warm or successful. And like, a lot of people will just die before the end of it. And that's like what it feels like. And that's wholesome, and it is good, and it is pure, and it is like valid, and it's correct. And yeah, and so probably a fitting note to my stay here, in that like I'm crying and exhilarated and feel really like high on emotions. But yeah, I just really implore again, and hopefully I'll start talking about like, I don't know, like practical ways to finish a deadline or something sometime soon, because this pod really did set out to be about creativity and writing and things like that. But it's also about like experiencing life, so you can like talk about it. But I send love and gentleness and kindness and acceptance, and also just that gentleness can be like brutal in how much you have to grow to put inside that gentleness, and that is totally okay. Thank you for listening.